But I don't know, about 2 or 3 years ago, I got the feeling that I was supposed to be in ministry of some sort. I kind of figured it was like healing ministry and spiritual warfare. And I kind of played along with that for a little while, and then I kind of got backslidden. And then, of course, I got back right with God, of course. And anyway, about 6-8 months ago, he said, it's time. He said, you're going into worship, or I mean, you're going into ministry. And I said, okay. Then I chickened out. I've been spending the last 6-8 months like Jonah. I got on the boat, tried sailing away from all this. And then I got thrown overboard. Well, today I'm in Nineveh. So, here's this message, I do believe, is a thus saith the Lord message. And as I go through this, you'll understand why. Because a couple years ago, I definitely would not have been given this message. So, I'm just going to start with a little prayer today, if you guys just want to. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather here today. We thank you that it is still legal to speak our thoughts and beliefs. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you help give me the message in the spirit you gave it to me. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will open ears and minds of all that hear this message. I pray that people all over would open their minds in this concept so we could eradicate racism. We thank you for this time to praise your name. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right, I'm going to start and look at my message today is called "Created in His Image." Let's start in Genesis. You guys don't have to turn there. I have it up. It's up to you. I'm going to start in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Verse 1 says, 26 says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" 27 says, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him." And then I'm going to go to Galatians 3, 27 and 28. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." This is kind of a testimony, confession type thing right here. Back when I was a teenager, I used to be extremely prejudiced. Of course, if you asked me, see, I'm nervous, so I'm just reading my notes. Hope you all don't mind, but if you'd asked me if I was racist, I'd say no. I didn't consider myself racist. I hated everybody equal. I'm serious. I did. The truth was, of course, I was prejudiced. I believed in slavery. If I would have been back in the time of slaves, I would have owned slaves. I would have been a member of a KKK clan, if there was one in my area. I was so prejudiced, I even had a dog that was prejudiced. I had a dog that hated black people and everybody else. Especially if they're in uniform, if I had a black person or a Mexican or whatever come to my house or in a parking lot where I had my dog would come unglued. That's it, you know. I tell you this because God has told me this is not the way to be. So he proceeded in telling me how it was meant to be. Furthermore, he told me I had to tell others. Leave it to God to take someone so extreme one way and make them see the light, you know, so to speak, and go extreme the other way. Look at what he did to Paul. He took him from persecuting Christians to winning people for Christ. So this is the message he told me to give. This message may offend some of you, but I'm not going to apologize because it does. If it does offend you, you are probably the reason God wanted me to start here. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Definition for known, realize, come to know. You shall realize the truth. You shall come to know the truth. God, through His Holy Spirit, made known the truth to me. So you can imagine how dramatic that was. He told me all men are created in His image. I took this to be we are created as spirit beings that have souls, mind, will, and emotion. And we live in a body, which is all truth. But he wanted me to go further. He wanted me to know that all people are created equals as spirit beings. He said, pretend their skin is like your house. It is just covering for their house. So let's say you were born and you were born into a gray house. Does that mean all the rest of the houses are bad colors? No. He said if you are saved, that is, if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, and declare Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, then skin color means nothing. If two people, being a man and a woman, fall in love and are both saved, he is in agreement. It does not matter to God if they are two white people, two black people, or one of... Or one of white, one of black, or any other color, as long as they are of like faith. Seriously, I could not have told you that 8 months ago. I did not believe in that. But I had one of those Paul-like moments. And I was told otherwise. Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. All this would have been impossible for me to believe, if not for God. Because, like I said, I was totally against anything other than people with their own color or nationality. But it didn't take as long as I thought it was going to take. But seriously, this is not a message I wanted to take and give, especially being my first one. I wanted my first one to be a, you know, something everybody can embrace and love, and apparently I'm not chosen for that kind of ministry. I was telling Janiah over the week, last week, I said, you know, I knew I was called into spiritual warfare, and this is a spiritual warfare message. We need to eradicate racism in this world. And this is where we need to start. We need to look at each other as spirit beings, because that's what we are. I believe that is what created in His image is. His spirits. I don't think this body is necessary. I mean, it could be, but I think it's mostly the spirit. And that's what God wanted me to get out. And apparently, I have to take it everywhere else. So, thanks for listening.
You coming up with a testimony? I just want to say something real quick, and I'll give it to you. Stay here. It's okay. I like your company. I knew that Dudley was prejudiced to a degree. I mean, people that say I have no prejudice whatsoever just so they don't mix in marriage. And I just want this on his tape. Moses married an Ethiopian woman. That means that she was black and he wasn't. And his sister and his brother, who thought they were very spiritual, spoke against him for doing that. Or his sister, I'm sorry, his sister did. And she got leprosy for rebuking Moses on that issue. And Moses prayed for her healing and God healed her. So I just wanted that to join your message. And I'm going to give you the mic, but I also wanted to say, Janiyah has, since she was a child, had a heart to bridge the gap and to bring blacks and whites together and to stop seeing the difference and to get rid of this whole issue of the skin color making any difference whatsoever. She's had that in her heart, and I knew she was going to move in a ministry of bringing that to pass in the Christian realm. I didn't know how she's going to do that with Dudley. No wonder that's one of the first things he wanted you to preach, because the two of you together are going to have a powerful ministry in that. I know you are. And I was going to leave the open mic to you, Janiyah, if you want to share your heart on the issue at all. That's up to you. We'll let Tom go first.
Well, I believe that very closely related is the subject of gender bias. Because part of the verse that Dudley did not read is, male and female created he them in God's image. And if the shoe fits, wear it. If there's gender bias here, deal with it. God has a different view. And just as a personal note, I don't recommend that people follow my example, which is to marry people of three different races in succession. Right. Once for life. Choose the one. Let God choose for you is better. And then stay with her or him, depending on your own gender. And it is the opposite. Yes, it's the only way reproduction happens. And who's next?
Thinks he has to say something all the time, but
oh sure.
But Pastor Harvey's been teaching me. I know. I was considering. Well, actually, I went to the Lord one time. Have you ever seen these programs that show you the deep sea fish, the ones that you haven't seen because they never had a submersible that got that deep, and now they can show you? Some of them are really ugly. I mean, terrifyingly ugly. And I said, Father, I said, you really created some ugly fish. And I am not kidding you. I literally heard him say, they're not ugly to me. And man, that hit me hard. Because that spoke to me about our culture. Our culture is not only prejudiced against skin color, it's prejudiced against your weight. I remember seeing a thing on TV about a woman of color who went through having a fat suit put on her. Did you see this? And it made her look like she was about 300 and some pounds. And all she did was go out and walk the street. And at the end of her, how many hours she was out there, she was crying and weeping and sobbing. She says, I can't believe how people treated me just because I was overweight. There's also another prejudice that many people don't think about. And that is this. Since 1963, when Roe versus Wade was passed, our country has, even before that, been coming into a paradigm shift of the sanctity of life over into the quality of life. So that when you become older, you're no longer seen as a valuable person. as you get older, you're seen as worthless. They don't see you as a repository of wisdom, or even the fact that you've got a lot of years behind you. You must know something about life. And I saw that with my dad, who had Parkinson's for 31 years. And we took care of him. My family and I took care of him for the last 7 to 9 years of his life in our house. He died in our home. And people don't respect you. They don't respect you. Where is the respect that speaks of the Old Testament? It even says that if a man curses his father or his mother, he should be put to death.
That's right.
Now, my son in Iraq, Daniel, dislikes and hates me so much. My daughter in Spring Lake said that he has cursed me out over the phone when she's talked to him in Iraq. And I just go before the Lord and I say, Father, he's speaking in the ignorance. Please forgive him. And I believe that because of that covering, the Lord will not take his life. He's had his friends die around him by being shot. And nothing has touched him yet. And I believe it's because God is blessing me with that favor. But think of this, folks. As you age, the respect that you show older folks is going to come back to you. Because God has set into motion the law of harvest, hasn't he? What you sow, you will reap. And what you sow, you'll reap the same kind of. But you're going to reap it later and in much greater quantity. That's the law of harvest. So I've tried with utmost. Now I have to say something to you about my dad. My dad and I were never close. He never told me he loved me. It's difficult for me to say that to my son Jonathan, you've met Jonathan. He always tells me, Dad, Papa, he says, I love you. And I'm saying, I love you, Jonathan. But there's just not a lot of feeling here. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I admitted that to you in your house before Jonathan. I said, it's hard for me to say that to Jonathan because my dad never said it to me. But I want to be the kind of person who can say it and mean it. But with my dad, when he was in our house with his illness, and as he became weaker and weaker and eventually became bedridden, and of course you who have ever been through this know about the bed sores and things of that nature, difficult to deal with. Very, very, I mean, extremely difficult psychologically to deal with someone whom you see suffering. My dad was in the wheelchair. We'd put him in his wheelchair every day and try to get him out into some fresh air. But there was a times before that he'd want to go places, and I'd be stubborn and obstinate and not want to do what he wanted to do, you know. And I thought so many times if I had just shown him the respect of simply being an older person. Okay, maybe I wasn't close to him as a dad, but how about just respecting him as an older person? And so I try to show that to people now because I want that to happen to me when I'm old. I believe the Lord is going to give me many years. He's allowed me to see some grandchildren coming into my family. Matter of fact, Daniel, the one who hates me over in Iraq, he talked to Jonathan in Texas. Jonathan called me crying. He says, do you won't believe it, Dad? He said, I talked to Daniel. He says, I have not had this depth of a spiritual talk with my brother until now for many years. And he said, Daniel said he thinks that when he comes back to the States, he might want to get together with you and talk with you. That was a major breakthrough. I mean, Jonathan and I have been praying for our boys to come back. You know, I've got 3 sons in the military. All 3 have been to Iraq. 1 is still there right now. He's been accepted, by the way, to West Point. He's thinking of making military a career. But there's all kinds of bias, whether it's against the race, against the weight, against your age. And folks, the only place that's going to change is right here with us.
Right.
You know, a judgment begins in the house of God.
Right.
And if we decide to come before the Lord, to humble ourselves and to pray and to repent of our sin, he said that he will heal our land. Didn't he say that in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, which are called by my name, he's not talking about the sinners. He said, my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and walk away from their evil deeds. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive them their sin and heal their land.
There you go.
Lloyd, you were talking about that last Sunday, weren't you? You were weeping about that. Two Sundays ago. I wasn't here last Sunday. Beg your pardon. Judgment is coming, yes. And it's, well, anyway, so no sermon here, but just wanted to share that with you. Who's next?
Everybody's, yeah. I just was remembering something about dealing with racism. I was never brought up in a racist family. We took people for who they were. But as I became a believer, I couldn't understand how people who claim Christianity, how they could be racist against other people. And I asked the Lord to give me wisdom on that. Talking about mixed marriages. A mixed marriage in God's eyes is not black and white, black or white and brown, or brown and whatever. In God's eyes, a mixed marriage is one religion and another religion. You check the Old Testament out. He told the Jewish people not to marry outside their race, not because of their skin color, because they had the true God. Ruth? She converted to the true God. You talked about this lady that was a lady of color. Years ago, somebody put this thought in my mind. What color was she? Was she Caucasian? Oriental? Everybody is a color. It's not just black folks. You look at everybody. Everybody is a color. I tried to educate my mom and dad on that. And when you said, I told you some about a couple of months ago about a book I read. There was a book we printed called The Black Presence in the Bible. We printed that thing. And I dove. I studied it. There's a word I can't figure out how to pronounce. But I called the author of it. And man, for an hour we talked. I paid the long distance bill. But I quoted the same verse where it says that Moses married an Ethiopian. You're thinking Moses was a white man. No, ma'am. He was Jewish, but he had dark skin. Right, but if you take that verse in context, that verse, what the man told me was it was because of class. Egyptians were above Ethiopians. But everybody takes that, Moses was white, Ethiopian was black. I'm going to trip over that dumb thing. But it's when people look at color or marriage, that's what they look at, skin color. Skin, to God of Scripture, mixed marriage is religion. That's what it is. Anybody want this thing? Or can I take it home with me?
I didn't want it.
You got it now.
Prejudices that we normally, in the way that we normally think of prejudice, to repent of or to confess to you, like racism. I lived in Detroit, and we never really had that problem, or gender. I don't think I have problems, you know, with gender and age and all those things. But something that I've noticed in my own life is that Well, when I believe something, I believe it completely. And when I come into a truth that the Lord shows me, I want to go all the way with it. And everyone isn't like that. You know, it might take me a while to get to the point of believing something, and then when I believe, I'm all the way in. Whereas for other people, it might just take a gradual accepting of certain truths. And maybe I'm that way with some truth. I don't know. I can't really judge my personality completely. But I do know, and I guess I want to confess to you, that for pride, because that's what all prejudice is pride. Setting yourselves up as better than someone else for whatever reason. And my reasons have come in to because God has shown me a truth, and all truth comes from God, and all wisdom comes from God. But when I have a certain truth that I believe and I see that others don't, sometimes I have a tendency to get proud about it and say, I am, you know, you need to get it together, you know, and saying that in pride instead of humility. And with different issues, I think I've had different amounts of pride. You know, I think maybe because I do have more of an extreme
personality. I think people have stayed away from me. I don't know if you've ever noticed that about yourself. If you have a personality a little bit like mine, they've stayed away from you because they thought that you were too good for them, or they thought that you were too good for them. And I think maybe some of that, I always used to think, well, that's their problem. They have some kind of a, they must feel guilty around me. If I'm doing something right and maybe they're not, then that's just the conviction that's coming from God, and I think there's part of that. But I also think, too, that it could be that pride. So I don't know if any of you identify with that, but that's what dialed up to me when you guys were all talking about your own prejudice.
I'm really, really proud of Dudley because I know this message has been really hard for him in preparation. It's been really, really hard. And he keeps telling me, like, where he's at in his Jonah stage, you know. And he's like, I think I'm going to get swallowed. And I'm like, why don't you just go to Nineveh, you know? Like, how hard is it to go to Nineveh? He's like, I think I'm going to get spit out. I'm like, good. He's like, I think I'll stay on the beach a while. I'm like, go to Nineveh. You know, like, come on. But anyways, that's really cool. And I, when we first got married, I mean, we got married so quick, you know, and it was cool. And we knew each other pretty well, but the race issue is something that came up relatively early. And when I made a statement that I had dated a black guy and that I was way pro, you know, like, someday my kids are going to marry black people. And I think that was the biggest fight we ever had. And, like, literally, just he was so mad that I was, like, telling him, you know, that I hoped Shahar would marry someone. I mean, I just felt like, you know, maybe not her per se, but since she's my only daughter right now, was at the time, you know, it was like, well, what would you do if she married? I mean, can you imagine my dad's face when Sahara walks in and says, Papa, look who I'm going to marry. I didn't know he was that prejudiced when I told him that. And he was like, what? No. She is not married. No daughter of mine is marrying a black guy. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he was just like, this huge, you know, because I have always, like when I was little, and we watched all the old movies, you know, and we'd watch like, I had a white baby and a tan baby and a black baby, you know, and I loved them all equally. I wanted all of them, you know. I considered them all mine, not like, oh, that one's a different kind, you know. I just thought they all belonged to me, and I could have those colors when I grew up, you know. I just thought that was kind of fun. I kind of wished my skin was a little darker because I'm kind of pale, you know. But we'd watch the old movies, and we'd watch Sidney Poitier, and I thought, man, he is hot. And I was just a little girl, you know. I was just a kid. And I thought, he's good looking. And Dad's like, no. So I thought for a while that it was just because, you know, I was a little on the rebellious side and my dad didn't like the interracial, and so I'd kind of go that way, you know. I thought, and then I realized that it was really a calling inside of me to break those lines, you know, because it doesn't really matter, and everybody said it, so I'm just being sort of redundant, I guess, but it is just skin color, and, you know, you wouldn't choose your house just because you didn't like the color. You can paint it, you know, and you can't change the color of people's skin, but that's not what matters. It's how it's inside, what you're inside. And so as the years went by, and I thought for a long time that I was called to marry someone black because it would bridge that gap, you know. And when I was young, my mom would tell me, you know, you have to consider that what some people, they won't want anything to do with you. Even some of our family might want nothing to do with you if you went that route, you know, because people have issues. And I would mention it to my dad every now and then just to kind of rile his feathers up and say, someday, Dad, I'm going to marry a black guy. He was just kind of, you know, do you have to do that to me? And we had a lot of big fights about that. And I'd say, I don't know why we have to fight about this, you know, just give in. And, but I've never seen why it was a big deal, but it is a big deal in God's eyes that we're not prejudiced, that we don't, you know, hinder our kids from doing what they're called to do, even if it goes against the way that we believe, because some of the things we believe are personal preference. And that was always my thing with my dad. It's a personal preference, you know. If that's not the way that you feel, that's you. But personal preference, you know. If I want 5 earrings in my ear, it's not morally wrong. It's personal preference, you know. And I saw interracial as the same kind of thing. And in God's eyes, I think he's even pro-interracial because it breaks those barriers and it offends the people who are racist and it makes them stop and think, you know. Because in the Christian realm, you know, if God tells someone to marry interracially and then he puts them up in front of people, that's going to offend a lot of the religious people who are against that. And God wants to sometimes offend our minds to make us think and get past what maybe just the way we've been raised, you know. Like, my dad was raised in the South where it was more socially apropos, you know, to interracial. I actually, in Florida once, I was out with my cousin and I said something about, he's cute, and she goes, who? I said, the guy right there. Who? I go, that guy. She goes, the black guy. I'm like, yeah. She goes, I didn't even see him. I was like, oh my gosh. It was like, if it's a black guy, he doesn't exist, you know? And I was like, that's just crazy. It's just crazy that we would segregate like that, you know? It's just so crazy. And I just want to say that I am so excited because God has really brought Dudley a long, long way on that. And I know that by him choosing to just cooperate with God and all that, that it's really going to open the doors that we'll be able to minister and reach out and bridge those gaps. And it's really in my heart to, and it has been for a long time, to adopt from Africa, you know, a baby and just bring that right into, as I grew up and I wanted 12 kids and I finally said, actually I want 13 because I'd like to adopt one from Africa, and that's always been in my heart. And so I'm really excited that God took someone who was on such an opposite end of the spectrum and from where I was at and just brought us together, and that we'll be able to like minister and bridge that gap of racism. Thank you, Jesus.
I think God is really funny in that you said, I want to marry a black man, and he has you marry a racist. That's hilarious to me. Well, we don't want to end this without giving a chance, you know, for repentance. And I grew up in the white world of my mom saying, I'm not prejudiced. I have nurses at work that are black, and we're good friends. I just don't think you should marry them. Why? Why? That I can't even think of anyone standing up in this room and telling me a good reason why. Those statements don't even go together, you know. But I want to give an open invitation for anyone who still does have an issue in their heart. The only reason that I could think that any of us would feel that way is our upbringing, our training, things that were put in our head, those belief systems that are built upon fish marry fish, birds marry birds, dogs marry dogs, and whites marry whites. That's the way we're brought up, you know? So if it's just a stupid belief system, invite God to break it down today. Invite him to break that down. And I'm telling you what, if people are honest, the attractions are there. We don't naturally feel the difference. It has to be taught. It has to be taught. I know that there were very good-looking black men. When I was a teenager, I would have dated, but I was too afraid of the peer pressure. I was too afraid of my parents. I was too afraid of peer pressure. My son in 12th grade was going to a nurse's training school, and there was a black girl there that he really was attracted to, too afraid of what his brother would say. You know, it's always the fear of what someone else thinks. It's not what's inborn in you. Jackson was watching TV, and there was one little black boy and the whole group of people on that screen. And he was saying something about the boy. And I said, are you talking about the black boy? And he said, no, the one in a red shirt. Well, that was the black boy. He didn't see any difference in faces. He only saw shirt colors, you know. It doesn't come naturally. But I want to make it an open invitation. If you still have roots into belief systems that cause you to have a problem in blending together with people, whoever they are. And you know what? I dare say in the North, I don't think we have as much racial difference with blacks as we do right now, maybe with Middle Easterners. Whoa, boy, do they get hated. My daughter's married to a Middle Easterner, and he can't even be the one to walk in a store and ask for a charge card. They'll find a million reasons to tell him no. But if my daughter applies, she gets it. Based on his income. Just so they're not looking at him, they'll give her the credit card. There's a great prejudice against Middle Easterners, and they're not all Muslim. They're not all anti-America, anti-God. I mean, there's a lot of Christian Muslims in our country. Christian, not Muslims, Middle Easterners. So we are just always afraid of what we don't understand.
Christian Arabs. Muslims, the religion, call them Christian Arabs.
Well, they're not all Arabs.
Arabs is a nationality.
But Middle Easterners can mean Egyptians. It can mean Chaldeans. It can mean from Lebanese people, Israelis. They're all Israelis or Middle Easterners.
Right.
They're not all Arabs. So anyone, Chinese, how about Chinese? I mean, people just have a problem with what they don't understand. So prejudice goes way beyond color lines. It goes into anyone who's not like me, you know. And I would be more concerned with culture differences when you get married. Do you fit together culturally? Is that going to work? And Jackie married a Middle Easterner. He's a Chaldean from Iraq. And immediately she's thrown down into Detroit area, into an Arab-speaking church, doesn't understand a word of it. And the way that their whole lifestyle, their whole culture, it's something different, you know. And she was 19 years old. That most people could not handle. But that Jackie was born for. She's Daniel in a foreign land. She is bold. She is adaptable. She has learned their styles of cooking, and they all tell her she's a better cook than they are at their foods. They just respect her, and she has made herself a missionary in a foreign land down in Detroit. She's called to it. So even culture doesn't always mean that you shouldn't get married. It really is up to God who you're going to marry, and He likes putting opposites together, doesn't He? He likes to do that. I'm going to give this to you, babe, because it's Papa's turn. Sahara knows her Papa. Every time somebody else took the mic, Sahara's back there going, Papa's turn, Papa's turn. And she knew you'd get a turn. But whenever he's done, I do want us to play some music. I don't even know what the music is like. God told me to bring it, and if I ever played it, I don't remember it. But it's your altar call today. So when the music is playing, if you need to confess that you still have any prejudice in you, I don't care if it's you're against Catholics. You know, if you've got some attitudes anti any group of people, I just want to give you a time to come up and bring that to God and ask Him. Because you can admit it's wrong and invite Him to change it. Only God can get inside of you and make you feel different. He has to do that. So invite Him to do that.
I need to speak softly. Okay, I'll try to speak softly. I'm doing my best. Help, I do real softly.
Softly, I'll be softly. I'll speak softly.
Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, any way outside of you is wicked. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me into the eternal truth of your heart and your ways. I don't want anyone but Jesus living in me. I only want you, Jesus. I want your ways, your thoughts, your life. And we ask that you would search us. And we invite you to do in us, bring us into oneness with you, whatever it takes. Bring us into oneness with you. No guilt, burden, manipulation, or pressure here. We're just inviting you to work in our hearts, work in our minds, change us, grant us repentance that we would see, think, and feel about each thing you want us to. And in this particular reference, in the way of prejudice, we invite you to bring us into oneness with you, that we would not be prejudiced where you're not prejudiced. Lord, that we would just be at one with you. We would see people from your perspective. We would allow you in your heart to be in us toward each person. no respecter of persons. We are inviting you to do this work inside of us, whatever it takes, unlayer us and bring us into oneness with you. And we just commit this into your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for each word spoken here today, each word heard. Do a work. Just, we only want Jesus to live inside of us. I only want Jesus to live inside of me. Thank you, Jesus. You want to turn on that music, that whatever she's talking about? If God's dealing you need to pray, you just want to whatever, it's your time.